account.
Online, on your mobile apps, on 97.8, and now on DAB. This is Gateway.
From the Sky News Centre at 2. Nearly a quarter of a million people have gathered at the Vatican to pay their respects at the funeral of Pope Francis. Royals, world leaders and cardinals joined worshippers to mourn the 266th pontiff who died on Easter Monday. The 88-year-old's coffin was taken by road to his final resting place, the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore. The man, known as the Pope of the People, specifically asked to be buried there. American priest Father Robert Sirico has been watching.
This is my third papal funeral, but this, I've never seen this scene before, that the body of a pope should be brought through the streets that he governed, in effect, as the Bishop of Rome, and to see the number of people just greeting him.
After 9 days of mourning, cardinals will start voting for the next pontiff. On the sidelines of the Pope's funeral, a key meeting's taken place between two presidents. Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky held talks on efforts to end Russia's war in Ukraine. Our Europe correspondent, Adam Parsons, who's in Rome, says the imagery was striking.
These two men sitting at what seems to be rather a small table, using the sort of chairs that you might get in a conference venue, and discussing about the most consequential war that Europe has seen for decades.
The woman who accused Prince Andrew of sexual assault has been found dead. The Duke of York has repeatedly denied abusing Virginia Giuffre, whose family say she killed herself in Australia. In sport, Celtic are on course to win the Scottish Premiership for the fourth straight season. They only need a point against Dundee United, but lead 5-0 at Tannadice. Chelsea lead Everton 1-0 at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League. Knowing a win will take them into the Champions League qualification places. That's the latest. I'm Daisy Steele.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery.
All the hits.
I love listening to music. Listen to it all the time.
It just puts a smile on your face.
Now on DAB across Essex. Across Essex.
All right, you got it.
This is Gateway. Gateway Community. Gateway 97.8. Pride Matters, brought to you by Basil and Pride on Gateway 97.8.
I know you wanted me to stay, but I can't ignore the crazy visions of me in LA. I heard that there's a special place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. I'm having wicked dreams of leaving Tennessee. Santa Monica, I swear it's calling me. Will make my mama proud. It's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl, I know she's gonna scream. God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where
she's gonna scream, God.
far behind. Still love you and Tennessee, you're always on my mind. And mama, every Saturday I can hear your southern draw a thousand miles away saying, God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong.
Saturday, it is 2 p.m. It is the 26th of April.
Yeah, think about that for a second.
Think about it then for a second. I think the aftermath of Easter is still catching up with me. It is me, Alex.
And it is me, Kurt. You're just in a chocolate coma after Easter, aren't you?
I'm in a chocolate coma today. But we are not alone. We have some guests here.
Real life lesbians.
Woo! Which is very handy. Firstly, hi, by the way. Basden Pride. Pride matters. Of course, Pride does matter. We talk about Pride matters on this show on Gateway 97.8. And especially, it is Lesbian Visibility Day today, off the back of Lesbian Visibility Week. It's a rare occasion that the Saturday show just happens to fall on the actual day that we want to talk about.
How long has it been since that happened?
It's a rare occasion. I can't remember the last.
Yeah, neither can I. I'm not going to sit there scrolling through all of the recordings we've done for the podcast. I don't have that much patience.
Not enough time in the day.
No, we do not have enough time in the day.
So, of course, it being Lesbian Visibility Day on the Basden Pride Pride Matters show, we, of course, we're going to be talking about that today. And, well, we had option A or option B. Well, option A being, of course, it usually being Alex and myself on the show is to go, don't worry, lesbians, the men will tell you what it's all about.
We just thought, you know what, we're going to reach out to Lauren and Jazz and get them in.
Yeah.
And we are joined by Lauren and Jazz today, the aforementioned lesbians who've joined us.
Has it been a full year since we last had you two on?
I can't remember when it was exactly. I just remember...
Turning up in Basildon.
So really glad to have you two back. I mean, it was absolutely awesome having you on the show way back when. So we'll be diving into that topic in terms of Lesbian Visibility Day today, and of course Lesbian Visibility Week. It's been over the last few. There's also some other stuff that we will be talking about on today's show as well, most notably some stuff that we did not talk about on last week's show, quite frankly because it was still quite fresh. And also, would have been very hard to remain even minutely semi-professional during that time. Let's put it this way. If you've been following the news from last week in terms of everything that happened with the Supreme Court, you might know where we might be going with this.
If you want my honest opinion, it was a load of rubbish.
Oh, that's one way of putting it, but we'll get on to that with all the topics and all the thoughts and opinions and everything from our very special guest today very, very shortly. For now, though... Should we get a tune on?
I think I've got a couple of tunes lined up. Let's have the Princess of Pop Rock, Avril Lavigne.
What more can I say? He wanted her, she'd never tell.
for an absolute tune. Avril Lavigne and Skater Boy. Man, do I feel old now.
You feel old?
I do feel old.
Shut up, Gen Z over there.
Okay, then.
When you say you feel old, I mean, hang on, that song was what, 2001?
I think it might be 01, I think it might be 02. I'm going to double check that now. Whilst I'm double checking, just talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, no, Alex, because I need you to have, I need your full attention for this. We'll get on to our main topic of the day in a second, but I need to know this right now. Alex, when were you born?
I was born in 2001, July 2001.
You're born to makes you feel old. You don't remember when that song dropped.
It was the 4th of June 2002. I was not even one when it dropped.
Yeah, you don't remember that song getting released. Do not quote the old text to me. I was there when it was written.
I was five. Is that 1997?
Yeah, you've been five, yeah. I'm a 1994 baby, so I remember that song coming out.
I'm not even going to say anything.
Ooh.
I was going into secondary school.
Oh,
mate, you are old.
I would not have said that you were.
She's got a baby face.
I've got good jeans.
Yeah.
Levi's. don't. So, right, we've got to move on, because before at least two of us in this studio feel like we need to take our pensions out, we have to get on to what we're actually here for today. Hi, if you're just tuning in, by the way. It's Pride Matters here on Gateway 97.8, sponsored by Basildon Pride. And by sheer luck of the draw, I love it when the calendar works this way, 26th of April is Lesbian Visibility Day. Who'd have thunk it? So, of course, again, if you are just tuning in and you missed the start of the show and you're worried about that that the two lads are going to start talking about Lesbian Visibility Day.
No, we have actually got some lesbians here today.
We have what I'd like to think is the expert panel.
Yep. Real life lesbians.
So, firstly, hi again.
Hello. Hi.
As he spins around in his chair and acknowledges.
What's up?
Again, thank you so much for coming back. Again, we had you guys on the show about this time last year.
Yeah.
I think memory serves me
right. Yeah.
So thanks for coming back. You are always welcome. And you don't have to leave it a year next time, okay? But, of course, it is Lesbian Visibility Day. So I could talk about this as an outsider looking in. But the first question I always need to ask is, what does that day actually mean to you? Is it something you have marked in the calendar for starters? Or
not really, because I mean, we're very fortunate to live. So me and Lauren, I'm Jazz.
Oh yes, so we've got to mention that bit.
It's all good. We've been married since 2022.
Yes.
We have a lovely house that we live in Great Wakery with our cats, and we're in the process of trying to become mums through IVF, and life is normal for us.
Which is exactly as it should be,
how it
for the record.
Be. But so, you know, we live very authentically as ourselves. We have family dreams that we've always wanted, and we're doing. And it's we're very blessed with that. And I think there was definitely a time in my life when, like before I came out, when I was like, oh, if I'm gay, then I can't be married or I can't have children. And we've just been smashing that.
Yeah.
We've got married. We're on our way to. We've booked our IVF abroad in Cyprus.
I know we were just talking off mic about this, about the update on the IVF. So firstly, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know we're still very much in the early stage of the planning. Last time we caught up. So.
Yeah. So we've decided to go abroad because we have to go private because there is nothing available on the NHS for same-sex couples. Boo.
Yeah, definitely a big boo for that.
Massive boo, especially because in 2022. When we got married, just a few weeks before we got married, a law was passed, well, apparently, in Parliament that the government would be taking away barriers for same-sex lesbian couples for RUI, but that has yet to materialise. So, and we're not getting younger, and we wanted to start our family.
Which once again, you guys got married in 2022, so yeah. What, we're about, what, 2 full years since that bill apparently was supposed to make life easier?
Quote, passed. Sure.
So in response to your question of, like, what it means to us, is like, you know, we don't have it in the calendar because we just live our normal, authentic lives, but it's also so important because, I don't know about you, Lol, like when I was at school, lesbian was a dirty word. Like, you didn't say it. You didn't...
Oh, yeah.
You know, if someone called you that, it was an offensive term.
There's people who are still think it's an offensive term, as in they're afraid to say it as well.
Like, so
my favourite was like, I'd be speaking to my nan, and she'd say, "Oh, I spoke to Jan and Dawn the other day. You remember Jan and Dawn? Yeah, they're both lesbians."
Yeah.
As if she was afraid to say it. Like, it was said with hushed whispers.
Absolutely, and like, you know, that was the thing that we grew up with, and unfortunately, sometimes still happens. And like, so it's really important to you know, acknowledge that people outside of the straightness in society exist, and we're just here just trying to live our lives normal, you know. We don't want any ag, we just want
even when I was in school, like, a lot of people that I know from school and even from college are still to this day afraid to be who they are. We're in 2025 now, and there are still people out there being afraid of being who they are.
I mean, bullies will be bullies for bullies' sake, always, and they will always find something to pick on someone for. But I think especially, like, you touched on this briefly as well, like, I think in terms of Lesbian Visibility Day, yeah, it might not be a day you have in the calendar, but I think it is noteworthy in the fact that, especially how much has changed just in our time on this planet as well, like, same-sex marriage, what was it, 2012?
Yeah, 2012.
2014.
I think it was 2014 because
it was 2012 when the bill was passed, but it didn't really
come in until
2014.
When we met in 2013. So we met at work. Before that, same-sex marriage was even legalised. Insane.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at that point we did not think that we would be years later married and together. Jazz was just the weird little sister of someone that I'd worked with for a couple of years already. She is still the weird little sister of her brother, but
I hope this made it into the vows, by the way.
But I think it's really important. Our experience has been mostly positive. Right at the start there was some more negative experiences, but for me personally, I've been very lucky. I've had a very supportive family, I've had supportive friends. I went to an all-girls school, so there was a few lesbians, and it maybe wasn't quite the same as sort of in a mixed school, but I also have the sort of wonderful quality of being completely oblivious to lots of things going on around me that are negative, whether it's you know, purposely trying to ignore negative things, or whether it's just my brain taking a bit longer to catch up. So I've been very fortunate to be in a position where I've not really had many struggles with sort of coming out and being myself.
Definitely.
Which is obviously fantastic.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to go back to something that you said, because you mentioned going to an all-girls school, and arguably that made it easier, or there was more supportive.
I feel like there was a lot more chance for people to be unique, and for there was still only a few of us who were sort of lesbian or, you know, bi or anything like that. I think because we didn't have the mix, it was just a load of girls, it was a lot more accepted in terms of, like, you would have sleepovers with your friends. You would, you know, it wouldn't be like, oh, no, you're a lesbian, you can't come along. It'd be, oh, we're all girls here. We're, you know, it's...
And I only mention that because, very weirdly, because, of course, we're all from roughly the same sort of age bracket, and I went to an all-boys school.
Yeah.
And there was only one out gay person in my year.
Yeah.
And weirdly, it was almost like, in an all-boys school, that was the one place where you did not admit to being gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, myself and some of my closest friends were nothing but supportive, but that guy did not have a fun time.
No.
He probably got bullied quite a fair bit.
Yeah. I hated to see it. So, Again, that's why I latched onto that so much. The fact you said being at the all-girls school, like you almost had that, that support that you arguably wouldn't have had as much elsewhere. It's weird that it was kind of the opposite from the experience that gay person in my year at school, he seemed to have a very different experience. It's like we were an all-boys school, so you'd think it'd be very similar, but...
Yeah, I mean, I do... don't get me wrong, there was bullying. That's why I said maybe it might be that I was just a bit too oblivious, because I'm sure I was bullied about it, but it was... it was always a very clear... Yeah, I'm lesbian, so what? Like, I just, you know, was quite happy within myself, and just knew that there wasn't anything I could do about it. So even if I didn't like it, I just had to deal with it. I just had to live with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so annoying, because it's like there's so many more things to a person than their sexuality. And it's like, why are you so boring and just focusing on that and then taking the mick out of it? It just makes no sense. I mean, I went to a comprehensive mixed school, and I remember there was two girls in my year who were together, and if they held hands or kissed or whatever on the playground, it was like, oh my gosh, these two girls are kissing, everyone come and watch it.
I mean, that's pretty much just being a teenage boy.
Yeah, but it's like you know, people like fights and stuff, and everyone would go and rush to them and watch the fight. It was like that. And I always remember feeling, I mean, obviously this was a little closer to me, it didn't come out until I was 19 anyway, but I was like, why are they doing that? I was so confused, like, why are people so bothered about these two girls who are just in love? Like, so weird. But
at the end of the day, love is love. That's the only way you can realistically look at it. Love is love. If you've got a problem with who someone loves, then chances are you're probably going to be single for God knows how long.
Well, I just think, like, you know, it's nothing to do with you. Like, if you don't like the fact that someone's going out with someone else, then just stop thinking about it.
I mean,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, you said it yourself, why are you so boring?
Yeah, it's boring, mate. Like, yeah, like, it's the whole thing of, like, you know, oh, I don't like the idea of lesbian sex, or I don't like the idea of gay people kissing or this,
so,
and the other.
So you know you don't have to think about it, right?
Stop thinking about it then, and don't engage in it. Like, that's
the way,
whatever.
Like, the way I've often summed it up, and this is what makes me laugh in terms of how bothered people can be by it. Like, it's one thing if it's not your cup of tea, it's one thing if you don't get it, it's one thing if, even if you don't necessarily approve of it, although honestly, why you could have such a bee in your bonnet about it, I don't get anyway. But it doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, I've always likened it to, like, it's just an element of this person's life. You tell me I like women, or I like men, or I'm trans, or I'm non-binary, or whatever. You might as well have just told me what your favourite movie is.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just a part of your life.
Yeah.
It's like, you might as well just said, I like The Godfather. Okay. Do you know what? Godfather's not really my cup of tea. I've never really seen the point of it myself anyway, but you do you. Yeah. Like, it's just, if you don't, if it's not your cup of tea, fine.
Exactly.
Like, you don't have to have it bother you.
I think it's like, you know, it's the sort of thing that it's like, these are people's lives, you know. There's a way to have an opinion about something. You can say, well, I don't like The Godfather. If you say you don't like gay people, it's not that you can just have that opinion. It's like, in terms of, like, that's someone's life.
Yes. Yeah. As I say, I don't like a person. You can say, you know, oh, you know, so, you know, oh, I don't quite get it. I don't, and, you know, obviously I'm not gay, so I can never understand that, and I can't even comprehend how people might like that. But you can have that if you like. But I have to say, I don't like gay people. Like, why? That's like me saying I hate you because you like, it's like because you have this hobby, or because you, it's like because you like the thing, or I hate you because you got brown hair. It's like, what? It's just a part of your life. It's just a part of who you are.
But some people are like, oh, but I'm allowed to have my opinion. It's like, no, the thing is, it's not an opinion, because it actually affects someone's life.
There's
like,
a difference,
you know, you can
between
have like that, oh, I don't like chocolate cake. Okay, dude, like, that's fine. Like, you know, do you know what I mean?
It's, I wouldn't, like, hate a person because they like chocolate cake.
There is a massive difference between, like, having an opinion and being an absolute idiot towards someone.
And being discriminatory, that's the
exactly
thing.
Discrimination, like, actually, is the one thing that everyone's gonna go through it at some point or another. And LGBT people go through it quite a lot, regardless of how they identify.
Yeah.
I mean, I will openly admit, I go through it about 6-7 times a day if I'm unlucky. I can go through it a lot more. Most of the time I just shut myself away and just do what I do.
I think this is what we've sort of found. One of the things that I've struggled with most with the whole IVF thing is for the first time in my life I've felt at a complete disadvantage to a straight couple, because, you know, I've been able to sort of have jobs that I've wanted, I've had friends, family, you know, that I love, that I want in my life. So I've never had any problems with anything else, really. But this is where it's like, it's so unfair. I desperately want a child, but we have to get ourselves into a load of debt to be able to even try to have one. And, of course, there's no guarantee that it will work.
Yeah, the key word there was try.
Yeah, so I think it's very... That is probably the thing that I have struggled with. You know, a lot of our friends have sort of announced pregnancies very recently, or, you know, lots have had their babies already. And, yeah, there's, you know, one couple that we know of who are a lesbian couple as well, who have been very, very lucky. They've managed to have their baby, and it... I mean, it's really lovely seeing that, because we know that that is a possibility for us. But again, there was a lot of struggle there because of financially, because there was a lot, you know, a lot to do.
Do you feel like you've almost had to fight more to...
Yes. Definitely. Yeah, 100%.
Just before we go ahead, can we just shout out to Grace, Jess and their best friends, please? Because they're our best friends, and they're beautiful little girls. And they've given us hope, and that's something that we really focus on with our
And it's lovely having people so close that have been through this you know, the same thing that we're going through, and can give us advice and just be there. Just, you know, if we get upset about it, we just talk to them, and it makes all the difference. It really does.
And it really has been a fight. I mean, the thing is, if you are a same-sex couple, so for example a same-sex female couple, you do not get any support on the NHS for IVF. It was a straight away no, came back.
Whereas a straight couple would potentially still get...
Potentially,
even
sometimes
then,
a postcode lottery, but...
Even then, pregnancy is a massive game of roulette. Like, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to carry that child to term. Yeah. There's no guarantee. It could cause unknown complications at any given point.
The difference between a straight couple and a gay couple is that a straight couple can at least try without bankrupting themselves. You know, they can at least try without having to, you know, be like, oh, where are we going to find the money? Like, it's a case of, well, of course, if you do end up having children, you're going to probably be skint for, you know, most of your life. But we are having to put ourselves in that position before we've even got a pregnancy.
People say, like, oh, kids are expensive. It's like, yeah, you have no idea.
Yeah, you've never had to buy one.
Never had to literally buy a chance to be pregnant. But, like, yeah, so, for example, on the NHS at the minute, for us, it was not an option, but a straight couple would have to try for at least a year, and with no success, then they would have some intervention. And then if it's 2 years... without, then they could potentially get IVF on the NHS. We don't get that.
Because there's no, like, tree of that. We've been trying for a year and we've not been getting anywhere. I wonder why. Yeah.
But then with that, they say, oh, yes, well, you have to have 6 failed rounds of IUI. And so with that IUI, on average in the UK, costs about £3,000 per go.
Pricey.
On top of that, you're paying for donor sperm, which is about £1,700 on average. So you're still paying that amount of money, and then you've got to go through that 6 failed times. It's soul destroying, and it makes families go, well, how are we going to do it?
There is something I would like to ask you too. So how much did it cost roughly just to go private?
So with us, we're going abroad. We are going to Northern Cyprus, which was nice because my family are from Northern Cyprus.
Oh, nice.
So it's like a little full circle moment.
But a nod to your heritage.
It's a nod to my heritage. So it is significantly cheaper than the UK. The average UK sort of reciprocal IVF is, you know, between £10,000 and £15,000.
I'm about to say, my brain just went 12,000 right off the cuff.
I straight away said 13,000.
Whereas in Cyprus, our treatment, the IVF treatments, costing just over £5,500. But on top of that, you've got to think of medication costs. Mm-hmm. You know, we're flying there, we're staying there 10 nights. But it's still going to be cheaper than the UK. But I reckon about £5,000 cheaper.
The fact that you can essentially do the IVF and a holiday for cheaper than it would do to just do the IVF over here. That's telling.
How I describe it, it's like an intensive driving test. It's kind of like you're going over there, you're doing all of it. You know, you arrive there with all your eggs because you've done the stimulations in the UK, and then you leave and you're pregnant until proven otherwise. But the difference is, when you're doing it abroad, and when we're doing it in Cyprus, is that we have that holiday, we have that time to relax.
Yeah.
We're not driving to and from Chelmsford or London or wherever people go to clinics in the UK. It's all just done there. Which, you know, they do have a really high success rate in Cyprus, and they think it's because people are more relaxed.
Higher than here. Yeah.
Much higher
than here. Yeah, over here everyone's stressed out to unbelievable extents, whereas over in Cyprus, just sit there, relax on the beach for a bit.
Literally, yeah. And I mean, you know, it does come with its pitfalls. Jazz is a lot more travelled than I am, and I am a lot more sort of anxious about travelling and anxious about being unwell away from home. And with the stimulation medication, it could mean that I feel very ill travelling to Cyprus and then being in a hotel and not my own bed. But we just, it was a no-brainer, you know, we can't afford it here. We can't afford it in Cyprus, but like I said, people get themselves into debt.
It was our lifeline of hope, because we tried, we started this journey in 2023 in the UK, and it was the realisation of actually we can't do this here, we just don't have the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're holding your wife while you're crying, thinking, how are we going to do this? How are we going to become parents? Like, you know, this was our lifeline. And luckily, we'd said to each other, let's put everything into our house in 2022. In 2024, like, let's have a year off, let's break, let's, like, sit and chill and process. And luckily, we were able to come back from that and go, actually, let's do it abroad. Mm. And we found the clinic. Shout out to Miracle IVF, Dr. Thirdev. So, yeah, we're really cool.
Yeah. And yeah, we're a lot more positive about it than we were. You know, that it was there's still a lot of hurdles that we've got to get over, but the amount of hurdles that we've been able to face already because we've been able to find this clinic and we, you know, yeah, definitely much better position than we were in a couple of years ago with the IVF, so.
So, bringing it full circle to the idea of the Lesbian Visibility Day and Lesbian Visibility Week, obviously we've had our fair share of hurdles just trying to get the UK system to even remotely work for us. This might be a hard question to answer. Do we feel like some of the struggles that we've had in terms of it working in the UK is due more to issues with NHS and funding and things like that, or issues more to due to like understanding of, you know, the need of that support?
I do think, I mean, with anything to do with the NHS at the moment, of course there is the issues with the funding and resources and things like that, but even talking to our friends, there's a real lack of understanding. You know, it's very much a case of, oh, I didn't know you had to pay that much, or, oh, can't you get anything free on the NHS? And it's like, I feel like
you kind of feel like you've got a target on your back, in a sense of speaking.
Yeah, and there's not a huge amount of understanding about everything that we have to go through. We've had lots of people saying, oh, can't you just stop? That's not an easy process. Like, that, you know, that also
especially
comes
for a same-sex couple, it is not an easy process. There's so much paperwork.
Yeah.
Paperwork is
adoption
insane.
Is a minefield at the best of times. I mean, the old joke
that's
is
invasive
yeah,
as well.
even if you're a straight couple, the old joke is that, you know, if I just had the child, I'm allowed to take it home unless I've proven that I'm a bad parent.
Yeah.
Whereas if I want to adopt, the amount of hoops I have to jump through just to prove that I'm a safe home for this child.
Yeah.
I always feel that there must be midwives who watch biological babies going home going, are we about to let this happen?
Yeah.
Even fostering for a same-sex couple is an absolute minefield. It's like playing Minesweeper, but in real life, you take one wrong step and that's it, game over.
Yeah. To me, that's for any couple. Like, you know, fostering and adoption also shouldn't be viewed as like a just adopt or just foster. It's like it's a decision that you make. You don't make it lightly because you want to give these children the best homes, and it is a really invasive process. You know, quite rightly, because they want to make sure these children who have come from difficult backgrounds go into a loving family home. But at the same time, the process is very invasive, and we know a lot of people who have fostered and adopted, and it is also still a massive process. And, like, you know, we have people that we know who adopted and it took 2 years to adopt them.
That's a pretty lengthy process.
And that was quick.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Honestly, like,
that was quick.
Yeah, if you can get it in within a 2 year period, you've done well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So,
and I feel like, and we've had lots of, again, lack of understanding. We've had lots of people who kind of say it as a joke, but it's not funny. Like, oh, why don't you just, you know, go out on the pool? Well, we're not going to cheat on each other, and we're not going to go and sleep with a guy. Like, that's not a helpful.
Why don't you just go on the pool? Making a lot of assumptions here.
Yeah.
But also, not just that. Would you say that to a straight couple?
No.
Would you say that to a woman whose husband had a male infertility problem, which is 40% mm-hmm. of the infertility amongst straight couples is the male infertility? Would you say that to him? Would you say that to them? No, you wouldn't. Yeah. So why is that okay?
Exactly. Like, you're assuming that they would be okay with, you know, with being unfaithful to each other. And in your case, assuming that you'd A, be okay with that, and B, would be okay, you know, getting together with someone who is not even remotely your cup of tea.
No, it's not even
in
that.
In the most British way of putting it.
It's the fact that I would not commit adultery against my wife.
But again, it's a double whammy that you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And also, you're not straight, so why? So this isn't even remotely on my radar.
People think that that's an appropriate thing to say when we're going through, you know, and it's a tough time. You know, we've really, thankfully, you know, many couples struggle with this, but we've been able to support each other very well. We're even closer than we've ever been. But it's just not appropriate to sort of say things like that when someone's going through. Like, it's just about being more sensitive and more considerate, which shouldn't be hard for people to do.
The only thing I can possibly say in very limited defence of the people who said stuff like that is sometimes it comes a case of where there is a lack of understanding.
Yeah.
And therefore 100%. A total inability to give any genuine advice.
Yeah.
Just falling back on humour.
Yeah.
Or at least what they think is humour.
And I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, it's people that are very supportive in, you know, every other way. But yeah, it's very much a case of like, that wasn't helpful.
I mean, we're very open as people. Like, we have been very open about our IVF journey because we want to educate people.
And we want to help support other people going through it as well.
Definitely. But then at the same time, sometimes, you know, we don't always want to discuss the ins and outs of our journey to parenthood. And I think you wouldn't necessarily say to, for example, a straight couple, oh, how did you conceive your child? Like, whereas we are always asked, like, oh, how are you going to do it then?
Yeah.
And
lots of, oh, who's the father going to be?
We don't have a father. We've got two mums. We have a donor. I think it's very much, I'm all very hot on that. Our child won't have a father because a father is a title that is earned as someone that brings up their child, that loves their child, that does, you know, is a parent.
our child's not going to have that. They're going to have two mums and they're going to have a donor. So I think I'm very hot on correcting people with that.
Yes. I mean, to be fair, the fact he's saying that fatherhood is earned as well, I mean, let's be honest, there's people who are children of straight relationships who will say, I don't have a father, I have a donor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's lucky in our sense that our donor has come into it knowing that he's a donor. And, you know, that is what
the lines are a lot more clear.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And yeah, so... But yeah, people can ask some strange questions and I'm absolutely fine to answer them. But sometimes they can come across a little bit inconsiderate, like, oh, is your donor only doing it because he wants the money? And it's like, it's quite, yeah, I just think, would you ask a strange person?
Yeah.
Would you do that? And like, I think it's the lack of understanding because a lot of donors, they get expenses, you know, they're train paid, they're not paid to donate. The reason why that it's so expensive is because obviously of all the screening processes and the counselling for the donor and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But so people can just be quite brash. And it's, I don't know, I think it comes off as fine for them, but they're not living it.
Yeah.
So I think if people are just a bit more considerate of like, you know, we don't want to have a sperm donor. We would love to have 50% me, 50% Lauren as our child, but that's just not the case.
Mm.
That's not how we can do it. That's not our science, and that's not what's going to make our family. But it's what's something that we've dealt with, and we're like, cool.
Yeah, like we've come to terms with it, but yeah, it's still not what we would want ideally. But it is what it is.
You know, I'm a very massive believer of that. Our future is written already.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're made to be parents and we will have that child.
At the moment, we are cat parents.
We are.
And we are very good cat parents.
We are. Shout out to Tessie and Miguel.
It's a third shout out for anyone who's keeping score.
Absolutely.
I've lost track already.
But yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. Always happy to be open, but I think it's fine to ask questions, but just, you know...
Make sure they're genuine questions and yeah, just be considerate of the questions because this is a you know, very emotional time, understandably, and it's, you know, it's taken a lot of, well, everything, a lot of
stamina,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We always to each other, oh, I think the most of the hardest part about IVF is taking the drugs. No, it's not. It's all of before. It's all of the...
Well, we haven't had to start taking the medication yet.
Yeah.
So who knows? We might still say it's a medication after.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we can safely say Lesbian Visibility Day being the theme of today, and thank you so much both for coming on again. I think there's definitely an argument that you said in terms of like the sort of situations that especially a lesbian couple that wants to have a normal life and do everything that a straight couple would normally do, there definitely, I think, needs to be more visibility on the struggles that go into that. And again, the fact that you say people, why don't you just adopt, or it's like, oh, surely you can get something on the NHS or anything like that. Or again, making light of a situation that takes so much mental drain.
Yeah.
I think if nothing else, the visibility and awareness on that side of things arguably does need to be better.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
But I am so over the moon that you guys are just that one step closer as well.
So am I. It is nice to see it. You're so much closer to having a child.
Yeah. If we don't speak to you beforehand, enjoy Cyprus, at the very least.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Beautiful country. It's one of my favourite places to go. I know that's not why we're going, but still, enjoy what you can of it as well. Fingers crossed, little bubba on the way very soon.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, I'm 30 years old. I got married last year. I'm getting broody at the moment myself.
Yeah. You've always been broody.
And then I have to babysit Alex, and I feel like, you know what? I can wait.
Rude.
Anyway, I feel like we have a tune on the way.
We do have a tune on the way, and we do have a bit of a hot topic that we do need to discuss if you paid attention to last
in the very limited time that we have left on today's show.
Oh,
right.
Yes, we're going to make it as quick as we can. We have got another tune lined up for you coming up right now.
I am Babyface.
How about that for an absolute tune, Babyface by RTO? Kurt did not stop dancing. It was actually embarrassing.
I can't help it. And that is probably one of the most the last light-hearted thing that we're going to say for the next few minutes, because we wanted to save this until late anyway, because we didn't want to get too doom and gloom early doors in the show. And to be fair, we deliberately didn't talk about this last week, partly because the show was already all booked anyway and there was loads of stuff to cram in.
Partly because it literally came out like a couple of days
literally
before.
2 days before we went live. So apologies for being late to the party to this, but that was very deliberate.
It gave us all a chance to collect our thoughts, gave me a chance to calm the hell down.
And we're still not that calm about it.
I'm calmer.
So, if you weren't aware of this, firstly, can I please get the address of the rock that you've been living under? And secondly, the Supreme Court, just over a week ago, ruling on the now official legal definition of what a legal woman is.
Okay, so according to what I've got up from the BBC now, judges at the UK Supreme Court have unanimously ruled that a woman is, quote unquote, defined by biological sex under equalities law.
So,
what are your opinions on that?
It's pretty hard, because like, how do you eye roll on the radio? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
There was very much a moment before the mics went live, we went, right, get all the swearing out of your system before we fade the microphones back up. So, the UK Supreme Court in Scotland have officially ruled... they've officially ruled that the legal definition of woman is based on biological sex, a.k.a., long story short, trans women are not real women.
Mm.
That's basically the B-side of what's been...
That's the cut and dry of it.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's definitely fair to bring Lauren and Jazz back in on this one. So obviously we talked about all our joys and trials and tribulations of being a lesbian couple, but a cis lesbian couple. I'm curious about where we stand on this.
I'm just going to start off with saying trans women are women, and we will stand with you in our community. And also, what I would love to know is, was there representation during this verdict? Were there trans women there?
I'd love to have done a head count.
Absolutely. So, like, was there the actual representation of the people that it actually affects? That's what I would love to know. And also, I mean, I'm pretty sure I know that it was probably made by a bunch of cis people, and it's...
So the group that is responsible for the Supreme Court ruling this in the first place is called Four Women Scotland. And from my understanding of it, it is run by a bunch of cis people. So
it's a pro-cis group, if memory serves me right.
It's a pro-cis group.
And of course... nowhere remotely near the top of the priority list, but still something that's quite frustrating to me. I'm a Harry Potter fan.
Oh, don't.
And J.K. Rowling
has gone on a tweet storm over this.
Oh, she needs to stop.
Reposting everything in relation to it. I'm like, this woman is making it so hard for me to remain a fan lately.
From what I understand, she made quite a sizable donation to the campaigning to basically put this ruling in place, and she posted a very smug picture of herself.
Yep.
Which just... when something that you support has such an effect on other people's lives, that just... for me, that's just not a human thing.
No, it's definitely...
Like, also, the smugness as well. Like, even if this was a minor thing, there's such a thing as being a sore winner, JK.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Jazz, you were just about to say something then.
It's painful how people think it's okay to discriminate and make people feel unsafe. And I think, like, as a human being, like, I just genuinely don't understand the need to ostracize and hurt people and put people in danger. You know, trans women are a massive majority of murders and harassment and hate crime. And
we went through the hate crime statistics on a previous show not that long ago, and I don't have them in front of me right now, but out of all hate crime, Over the last 5 years, most other instances of hate crime have gone down. Trans has either stayed the same or gone up.
Mm-hmm. For me, there's a couple of things that, you know, really sort of stick in my mind. So, first of all, the fact that there has been a ruling that has decided that cis women are more important than trans women. But that's what it screams to me. And as cis women, I mean, that doesn't represent us
absolutely
at all.
Not.
You know, we obviously have had our own struggles with lots of things, and we understand that trans women and just trans people in general go through so much rubbish. They go through so much pain and, you know, negativity just to be themselves, and that doesn't sit right with me.
But yeah, no, exactly, and I completely agree with Lauren in that there is, you know,
I've never felt unsafe because, you know, the toilets,
bathrooms,
and, it's very much a, you know, there's obviously that whole big debate.
But that's the thing, but I think that's interesting, the fact that you bring up the toilet situation, because I say, people say, oh, you know, I feel unsafe in a toilet because, you know, someone who is a biological man could come into my female toilets. I'm like, would you have the same issue with a lesbian coming into the toilets and feeling that unsafe? Because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What scares me is predators. That is what I would be scared of in a toilet, and that could be... It could be male, female, it could be, you know, a trans person. Like, it could be anyone.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's nothing that says that trans people are more likely to, you know, to be a danger to you. You know,
it seems very akin to like the gay panic of the 1980s.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they just like people just afraid. Like,
yeah,
which makes no sense, because
why are you scared of someone who is being who they truly are?
Someone who is happy in who they are, like, and that's the thing, like you said, Lauren, like, with you know, you shouldn't be scared of trans people in your toilets. You should be scared of predators, or because that they're not mutually, they're not alongside each other. Like, you know, you should fear the, you know, the bad person, not the gender.
Like, at the end of the day,
we just want to live a normal life. Same, like, you know, like I said at the beginning, you know, we go to work, we've got a house, we've got our little cats, we want to be parents, like anyone anywhere. And trans people, although I can't speak for every single trans person, and also I'm not trans myself, but the people who are trans who have spoken to, they just want to live a normal life. Like, life's a lifestyle as it is. Do you know what I mean?
I think looking at a BBC report on the ruling, one of the bullet points is the Scottish Government says it acted in good faith and will work with Westminster to understand the full implications of the ruling. That makes me think...
Surely you think about the implications before you make a ruling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I feel it's very...
If I didn't laugh, I'd cry.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, it's painful. It's painful to live in the UK right now anyway.
Any chance you want to make that holiday in Cyprus a full emigration?
Absolutely.
I feel like.
Bring it on. Yeah. Dual citizenship, please.
If you've got opinions or thoughts, or just want to get your voice across, or just have a bit of solidarity, again, hit us up on the socials at Basden Pride, and go to the Basden Pride website, our Transcend events that we run bi-monthly. And it's a lovely networking opportunity, lovely support group with some lovely people, and there's always free snacks as well, in case.
Oh my gosh, sign me up.
We also loved seeing everyone there at the parental family networking group yesterday. That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little bit conscious on time. It's nearly 3 p.m, so it's almost time for us to go.
It's rocketed by today.
It has rocketed by today. Lauren, Jazz, we've absolutely loved having you here. We've loved hearing what you've got to say.
And you are always welcome back. Don't leave it a year next time.
We'll be here.
But for now, though, we are out of time.
We are out of time, so...
Thank you for listening to this week's Pride Matters. Thank you very much to Jazz and Lauren, our very special guests. And we will catch you next Saturday from 2 p.m.
Pride Matters, brought to you by Basildon Pride on Gateway 97.8. on your mobile apps on 97.8 and now on DAB. This is Gateway.